All right, now let's stand for the reading of the word of the Lord this morning, and you can turn your seat. But here we are in Philippians chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 17 through 21, as well as we're going to spend some time in parallel passage in 1 Corinthians. So check this out. The Apostle Paul says, "Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eye on those who live as we do. For as I have told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body." 1 Corinthians 15, 40-44. "There are also heavenly bodies, there are also earthly bodies, but the splendor of the heavenly bodies is of one kind, and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, and the stars another. And the stars differ from star in splendor. So it will be in the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown and is perishable is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. 1 Corinthians 15, 44-52. Just as we have borne the image of the earthly man, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the imperishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed." Father in heaven, we come before you this morning in the name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, we've left our homes to come to this house, to this place of meeting, to meet with God, and to share our relationship with you, with each other, to meet with our brothers and sisters. Jesus of Nazareth, would you walk in our midst today? As the great rabbi and the great teacher, would you open our eyes that we might see and touch our ears and we might hear the things that you've freely given to us in the Spirit, Lord. Father, we pray for the individual behind this pulpit this morning, God, that you help this person speak clearly and without error, and that this would be done for the kingdom of God, and the glory of the kingdom of God, and God alone. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, this is a great church family. If you're new here, want to welcome you. If you're looking for a church, want to say welcome home. You found a great church. I came to this church 23 years ago, and I've never left. I share my life with you. You've shared your life with me for 23 years. I want to tell you this morning as we begin that as a father, I had a moment this week that I'm going to remember for the rest of my life. For you dads, as long as you know as parents, sometimes there's a moment that happens where you just treasure that moment, and it will stay with you forever. I had one of those this week. My youngest son, Jeremiah, joined the National Guard, and I told him, don't sign anything until he signed it anyway. And he is signed to be a chaplain's assistant. And so on Tuesday morning at 5 o'clock, I drove him up to LAX, and there was this kind of assembly station there. He was supposed to get there at 5. We got there about 8 minutes early. We're sitting in the car, and it was actually kind of cool. As we were driving up, I was sharing with him a student that I had was Professor Viola, and one of my students was a chaplain's assistant for the Army. And he was telling me the stories. This young man that was in my class ended up going to Viola. He wanted to go and study and become a chaplain in the Army and head back to Noble College. And so I was just chatting with my son, and we kind of pulled up into this place. It's pitch dark, it's pretty cold, and there's about 200 people out front standing at attention. And I'm sitting there with my son. And we just were kind of quiet. And he says, well, Dad, I guess it's time for me to grow up and serve my country. And he opened, never heard the door open, just popped the door, and he grabbed his bag out of the back and said, look, Dad, and he signed the door, and I'm sitting in the car, and I just watched him walk off and disappear into the crowd of people. And that was on Tuesday morning. We haven't heard from him since. Keep hoping he's right. And honestly, after a while, it was weird. He'd start the car up and he'd drive away. And it's been a weird, as a father, as Kristen and I, as parents, even, you know, we had the greatest time the night before. We all gathered in the room. Jonathan started praying, my oldest, and then my little one, Jordan, and Cinda, and I prayed for him, and Jeremiah prayed for him, he just prayed for his trip, and he's gone. And I'll never forget that moment in my car for as long as I live. I'm so proud of him, praying for him every day. We as a family are what you would say a patriotic family. The Winans family is actually a part of an organization called Sons of the American Revolution. Our ancestors came to the Americas in the 1600s. Our ancestors fought with George Washington in the New Jersey regiments in the Revolutionary War. The Winans family fought at Gettysburg in the New Jersey regiments. My father's of World War II. We are a patriotic family. And to hear my son say that just blessed me. We as a church have been studying what book for the last so many weeks? What book we've been studying? Philippians. It's a pretty good book, isn't it? Man, there is gold nuggets in that book. It's one of my favorite books of the Bible. There is so much in the book of Philippians. And in many ways, the Philippians are as the Winans, in that they were very patriotic people. Remember this, when we first began studying the book of Philippians. The people of Philippi are very patriotic people. They're proud of their Roman citizenship. They were proud to be Romans. They were proud of their country. Philippi was a strong, veteran Roman military community. Caesar Augustus retired many of his military veterans in the city after he became emperor. The Philippians dressed as Romans. They thought like Romans. They spoke Latin even though they were in Greece. Is there by chance that as we read the book of Philippians, that we find these words spoken by the Apostle Paul in this setting? He writes in Philippians 3:20, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, Roman Christian, take note. Hey, American Christian, take note. Take note, Paul says. And by the way, if you want to take notes, you can take notes. Whip them out. Take notes. Write this down. This is something that we need to drive deep into our soul. Our Christian commonwealth is where? In heaven, right? Our earthly identity must be at best secondary, because our true citizenship is in heaven. It's good to remember this and to write this down, especially for patriotic people. Friends, on a measurably higher plane, our citizenship is in heaven. Where are you going to spend the bulk of your time? In heaven. This place is a flash. It's a vapor that passes in the wind. Our citizenship, Paul says, as he writes to these Romans, these very patriotic people, our citizenship, friends, is in heaven. Are you with me? Does this make sense? It's good to know, isn't it? Paul writes to a patriotic people, proud of their earthly citizenship as Romans. And it's good for them to remember that. It's good for us to remember that, that we belong to another land. The Scriptures calls us as believers foreigners and strangers on this earth, that we're not of this world. Is Paul right? Paul says we're not of this world. Is he right? What did Jesus say the night before he died? As Jesus was heading to the cross, as Jesus was the night before he was going to die on the cross for our sins, as he was praying to the Father, notice what Jesus says to God the Father about us. Listen to this. Jesus says these words, "But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I did not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. If they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." Jesus says, "Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world," Jesus says, "I also have sent them into the world." Friends, Jesus says that you and I are no longer of this world, that we're strangers in this land, and our home lies far away. Something strange happened to you and I the day that we received Christ. It's funny, I remember praying to receive the Lord in September of 1985 on a rock up at Forest Home at a college briefing conference. And I remember sitting on a rock. There was this discipline of silence, and Tony Campolo was speaking with a great message, and he says, "And there are some of you out there that you need to get right with God." I'm like, "They told him I was here. You need to go get right with God. And you just need to go settle things." I remember going out, looking up into the stars, thinking about my whole summer, reading the Gospels, trying to, is there a God? Who is Jesus? I mean, the whole thing. So I'm just trying to figure this out. I remember looking up, and like, the best prayer I could muster was, "Jesus, I think you're real, and I want you to come into my life." That's the best I could get. For the last 29 years, I've been trying to figure out what happened to me that night. A metamorphosis took place in my life, in your life. The day you received Jesus, something weird happened to you. And one thing is that from that moment and that instant, you are no longer of this world, that you're of a higher world. Your kingdom, your citizenship's in a different place. Something strange happened to you and I when we become believers, receivers, followers of Jesus. The worldly system that used to be our home starts to become strange. Its values become more and more uncomfortable to us, even offensive to us, right? The more I walk in this world, the more offended I am. Friends, I don't even listen to commercials anymore. I got the mute button. I don't want to hear it. Hey, you know what, guys? You know what the number one movie is right now in America? 50 Shades of Grey. Do you know, last year in 2014, of all of the sex scenes that was in all of Hollywood's major movies, this movie that's out right now has more than all of the movies combined in this movie alone and then some. And it's sick. And it's the number one movie in America. It demeans women. It demeans God's design of human sexuality. It's sick. The older I get, the more I walk on this world, the more I realize that I'm not of this world. Probably if I had been a kid 17 years old, in my state of mind, in my BC days before Christ, I would have went, no way. Something changed. You know, Jesus said this. Jesus said there's a way in the road. Jesus, I love this. In Matthew chapter 7, he says there's a way that leads to life and a way that leads to death. We as a church are here to help people meet. I want you to meet it. And to know, I want you to know it. But I ultimately want you to follow it. To follow Jesus. To meet Jesus, to know Jesus. The money lies in following Jesus. Jesus says there's a way that leads to life and a way that leads to death. The way is broad that leads to life. Many people go that way. The way is narrow. The way is broad that leads to death. And many go that way. The way is narrow that leads to life. Not as many people take that place. The road less traveled. And I look at this. He said, why in the road? Jesus says, go to the right. It's my way. The left is the world's way. And the more you take that why in the road, you begin walking, you find that there's this distance that seems to take place from you as you begin to follow Jesus. And the things of this world start to become more foreign to you as you begin walking with Jesus. It's just this weird weird thing that happens in our lives as Christians. We have been changed in an instant, but the more we walk with Jesus, the things of this world become less valuable, less important. It's weird. Friends, I tell this story. I remember this. I was driving down the 5 freeway one day in my Corvette. It was like 1987. I'm 2 years old in Christ. And I'm listening to one of my favorite CDs that I used to listen to all the time. By the way, the best music ever was in the 80s, right? And I'm rocking out with my cassette deck. Kids, I don't know if you understand this. We had things called cassette decks back then that were plastic. And sometimes they get stuck and you wheel them with a pencil trying to get them to go again. And I'm driving in my car and I'm rocking out to the 80s music and I'm listening to this song that I've heard 100 times, 1,000 times. And all of a sudden I'm listening to this song and I said, you know what? Those words are offensive to me. What that person's singing about, Mick Jagger, is offensive. And I'm driving along and I quit singing and I'm like, no. And I ejected the tape out of my deck. And it was a nice California day with my T-tops off and I huffed the tape out through my T-top on the 5 freeway. I'm not listening to it anymore. It was beautiful. Now, the Lord still had to work on me about littering on the 5 freeway. But something happened to me. I changed. When did this take place? The more you walk, the more the things of this world. I feel like I'm an alien in my own country. When did this take place? I used to party with the rest of them. Best. Not anymore. Something changed. Jesus. Paul says, join together and follow my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny on the Broadway, right, is destruction. Their God on the Broadway is their stomachs. It's all about self-pleasure. It's all about you and what you want. Their God is their appetites, right? And their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, right? And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to Jesus. Jesus says these words, but now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them for it, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Christians, we're not of this world. Our citizenship is in heaven. I love this country. I guess I have like dual citizenship, right? I'm a child of heaven first, and I'm a child of America second. When I first came saved, I used to listen to this guy named Keith Green all the time. And Keith Green had a song, and he said, if the Lord made this world in 6 days, and Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us for how long? 2,000 years. He says, then we're living in a garbage dump compared to what's going on up in heaven. That's good, isn't it? You know what, guys? We, as Americans, live in a pretty good place in the garbage dump. When people want to break into your country, you have a good country. Whenever I travel around the world, whenever I come home and I land, I say, thank you, Lord, for this country. Thank you for the godly men and women that built this land 200 some years ago and created the principles of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. That the government, people don't exist for the government exists for the people, and God has placed inalienable rights in all human beings. Who placed these inalienable rights? God did, and it's the job of the government to ensure the rights of the people. It's a beautiful system. We live in a great country, but it's a garbage dump. And we live in a pretty good place, in the dumpster. But don't hold on to it too tight, friends, because you know what? It's garbage. We have the best spot in the garbage can, but our citizenship is in heaven. Do I hear an amen? Amen? Right? Do we get this? Do you understand this? Paul says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what he says, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly body so that we will be like his glorious body. As Paul is in Rome, in prison, awaiting trial before Caesar, he writes the book of Philippians. It's a book of courageous faith. It's surrounded by people of courageous faith, from Paul himself, Epaphroditus, to the people of Philippi. I mean, these are all courageous people, and it's a book of courageous faith, and it's a book of Christian joy. And it's so weird to think that somebody could be sitting under arrest could have such joy as Paul has, and he keeps saying joy, 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 I have joy. Would you be joyful in a prison, chained? And I'm talking about like Roman stuff. Paul has joy. Where is his head? Friends, his head is here, and he tells the church this. My mind is on the resurrected Jesus Christ, who died and rose again. And he said, when Jesus came about the grave, he had a new body. When Jesus died and he came about the grave, he was not the same. He was different. He was changed. And he came up with a new body. And Paul says, man, I'm excited about that. My citizenship is not of this earth. And by the way, the Apostle Paul is a Roman citizen. That's why he's using his citizenship the best he can. I mean, it's great. But even he says, my citizenship is in heaven. And then he says, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so they will be like his glorious body. What is Jesus going to do with your body?
Transform it.
Transform it. Right? Think about it. The resurrection of Jesus marked the end of Jesus' poverty, per se, of Philippians 2, right? His kenosis, his emptying himself. He is raised not as when he died. He is raised not in the same way in which he died. He is raised differently. Jesus is raised in a new state, a new body. The Bible calls it a resurrected body. Our three sons' birthdays are all between the end of August and the beginning of October. All three were there. And we as parents always are trying to prepare ourselves. We've got birthdays coming. We as parents, don't you want to give good gifts to your kids? Answer? Of course you do. Jesus says that, right? Do you know that God the Father gives you good gifts? As a matter of fact, the body that you dwell in is a gift from God, and it's fearfully and wonderfully made. Listen to this. In Psalm 139, King David says this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. For you formed my inward parts, David says. You have woven me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Isn't that beautiful to even meditate upon? Our bodies, friends, are amazing. God created our bodies that you and I live in. They're fearfully and they're wonderfully made. They're beautifully designed. And yet they're broken. Our bodies are mortal. Have you noticed? They're messed up. We were born aging, and we're still aging. Have you noticed? I just noticed this on Monday. I'm sitting there going, when did he grow up? Because he's walking away from me. When did he grow up? Friends, we were born aging, and we're aging. Bummer, right? Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that our bodies are like tents. That's kind of good, a dwelling place, a tent. You know, some of our tents might be more frayed than others, but we're all frayed, friends. All of us. The scriptures tells us that one day we will be given a new body, a resurrected body. Listen to this, Paul, as he really talks more about this in his letter he wrote to 1 Corinthians. He says, there are also heavenly bodies and there's earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is of one kind, the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon has another, and the stars another, and stars differ from star in splendor. So it will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable, that's you and I. But it is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. And just as we have borne the image of the earthly man, so we shall bear the image of the heavenly man. We get to bear the image of Jesus and his resurrected body. This is what's on Paul's mind. It's beautiful. He says, I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery, Paul says. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in the flash, in the twinkling of an eye, in the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. Paul is in prison in Rome, and he's joyful about God in his life, of what God is doing in his life at that present moment. And he's joyful of what God's going to do in his life in the future. That's different than the world, by the way. The world isn't thinking this. Paul is in prison in Rome. He's going, I'm so thankful what God's doing in my life today, and I'm really thankful about what God's going to do in my life in the future. And as he's there in his mindset, he has joy. Paul's excited about the new model. Does anyone like going to the car show? The boat show? You know, you always like to see the next year's model. It's coming out. The new Mustang looks pretty cool, by the way. I like it. Corvette looks pretty sweet, too. Next year's model. Paul is in that mindset. I'm excited for the new model. Paul is an aging man. He's probably a little bit bald. We know he's dealing with some eyesight issues. He's feeling the aging of his body, and he's thinking, I might be killed here. I might die here. Where is his thoughts? It's always on Jesus. And he's excited about what God's going to do with him. This is where he's at. He's encouraged by this. Should he be encouraged with his thoughts placed there? Answer?
Yes.
Are your thoughts encouraged when you think about this?
Yes.
Man, a while ago, I visited a lady in the hospital. She says, Pastor Frank, my 87-year-old body is just worn out. I just want Jesus to come and get me. And I look forward to what he has for me. Boy, was her mind in the right place? That's where Paul's mind is. And he's encouraged by it. Should he be? Should you be? Look around. Look at yourself. You look in the mirror and go, friends, this is just the first model. It's broken. But God's got a new model for you. Paul, as he's in prison in Rome awaiting his trial and possible death, he was encouraged by the promise that we will all be given these new resurrected bodies like Jesus. Isn't that nice? Have you ever thought about this? Have you ever studied this? Have you ever really thought and studied about this? Take note. That's your cue. Take note. Because I have. I remember looking at this going, all right, so you need to tell me if I'm going to get someday a resurrected body, and it's going to be like Jesus. Well, what was Jesus' body like on Resurrection Sunday? What was Jesus' body like after he arose from the dead?
No.
Did you know that some of his disciples didn't recognize him at first? Because
no, there's nothing on except his mind.
His body wasn't the same. And that was perfect. It was perfect. Mary and Martha at the tomb, they didn't recognize him, right? Disciples on the road to Emmaus, different. Who is this guy? He's perfect, right? They could recognize him, but they couldn't at first because it was changed. What was Jesus' resurrected body like? Friends, the resurrected body could be touched. Did you know that? The resurrected body could be touched. As Jesus came up out of the grave, he could be touched. There's a great story in John chapter 20 where Mary comes running to the tomb, and it says, but Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping, and so as she wept, she stood and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one on the head and one on the feet, where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, because they have taken away my Lord. I do not know where they have laid him. And she said, and when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Different body, friends, new model. Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Supposing him to be the gardener. Go to the garden tomb with me next year, guys. We'll read this. The garden tomb. Damascus Gate in Jerusalem. It's pretty awesome. There was a garden there. Supposing him to be the gardener, she said, sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said to her, Mary. And she looks at him, right? Teacher. And what does she do? She grabs him, and she's just so stoked, surfer term. She's so excited. She's holding on to him, and what does Jesus say to her? Dude, quit clinging to me. Give me some breathing room, right? I mean, she's so excited. Jesus' body could be touched. Mark that down. It could eat. It could eat. Jesus' body could eat. Luke 24, 36 to 43. While they were telling these things, he himself stood in their midst and said to them, peace be with you. But they were startled and frightened and thought that they were seeing a spirit. He said to them, why are you troubled? Why does doubt rise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still could not believe it because of their joy and amazement, he said to them, have you anything here to eat? And they gave him a piece of boiled fish took it and ate it before them while they're all staring at it. How weird would that must have been? You know, sometimes when you go on a date with somebody, you don't want to even eat. You know, so I can go on a date with this girl. Don't order spaghetti. It's totally embarrassing to eat spaghetti on a date. Hey, guys. I'm going out, I'm excited to be with this person, and you don't want me slurping, you know, cutting spaghetti loosey. Can you imagine them just sitting there, and here's Jesus, he just shows up, and he's like, hey, guys, it's me, little, can you guys have anything to eat? Let me just eat. He could eat. The rest could be touched. Eat. It could go through walls. Did you know that? Do you know that Jesus in his present state doesn't even need to come through a wall? He could just appear right here. Would that be pretty cool? That's a pretty cool body, wouldn't you say? After 8 days, the disciples were again inside and Thomas with them, and Jesus came, the doors having been shut, stood in their midst and said to them, peace be with you. That's pretty cool, don't you think? That's pretty cool. Did you know that Jesus' resurrected body could fly?
Yes.
Do you ever have dreams of you flying?
Yes.
I do. You do too? I love it, right? I'm dreaming and I feel like I'm Superman. And I'm just flying. I think that was the coolest dream. It's one of my favorite dreams. I wish I could program myself dreaming about flying tonight, right? Listen to this. In Acts chapter 1, verses 9 to 11, and after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky, while he was going, behold, two men in white clothes stood beside them. They also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you watched him go into heaven. That's pretty cool, don't you think? Friends, these new bodies will be free from sickness, disease, and death. There will be no more hospitals or surgeries. We will be free from physical decay, free from sinful inclinations. These bodies will be imperishable, glorious, and powerful, with endless energy. Does that sound like a good gift?
Yes,
amen. Does God give good gifts?
Yes.
What you're living in, your body is spiritually wonderfully made. It's a good gift. Do you know that your body that you have right now has 60,000 miles of blood vessels of piping in your body? Your body has 60,000 miles of blood vessels of piping in the body you have right now. That's incredible. It's amazing how it just evolved out of nothing, right? But God's not done. There's a new model awaiting you one day. And if you want a sneak preview, just look at Jesus. And that's what Paul's saying. That's what Paul is saying. But our citizenship, he says, is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Isn't that beautiful? I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. And as they're coming up, I want to sing this song. It's a great song that's driving in our heads that we're not of this world. Hey, can I tell you something? Don't hold on to this world too tightly, friends. Because you know what? You can't keep it. You can't keep it. It's a broken world. We live in a broken system that is rebellious to God, its creator. But Jesus has taken you from this world, he saved you from this world, and he is transporting you into another realm, in another dimension. When you die, friends, to be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. And yet that's not the end. It's your spirit is with God, but God promises you one day that your spirit will once again dwell within a body. And that body is going to be awesome. This is where Paul's thoughts are. He says, don't put your mind down here too strong because you can't keep this place. And the world that we live in is broken and it's rebellious to God. The whole world system just thinks outside of its creator. It's a destroyed system. Jesus says, don't take them out of the world, Lord. I send them into the world to share the good news of Jesus. Keep them from the evil one. This is a great spiritual truth. Friends, if you put your mind here, you're going to smile. And I bet even if you were in prison in Rome, if you put your thoughts here, you might even put a smile on your face and have a bit of joy.